Today is February 14th, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. We've got a law enforcement summit. We've got some honored guests. And Arthur, just kidding. Daniel Goodwin. Maybe it would be helpful if we just went around the room
and around the
introduction. Simon Hare, Josephine County Commissioner.
Lily Morgan, Commissioner.
Dan DeYoung, Commissioner.
Dave Daniel, Josephine County Sheriff.
Joseph Rice.
Mark Seligman.
Josh Robinson, Chairman of the Republican Party.
Jim Goodwin, Juvenile Department Director.
Paul Walter from usages.com.
Ward Ockenden.
Bill Hunter.
Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director for the county.
Great. Well, I'm going to actually, he doesn't know, turn it over to Commissioner DeYoung. This is his idea, which I think it was long overdue and something the county is in need of doing to try to find a solution to our current state of affairs, the declining criminal justice system or law enforcement system that we have.
Yeah, just first off, I want to thank all of you. You were all right up front in responding back to the invitation for this. We've got some challenges, and we've had challenges for 7 years. I've heard there's been a number of levies put on the system. There's been just about everything under the sun tries. But right now, I think we're kind of down to the 11th hour, and I apologize for the 11th hour because it's logistically, if anything is to go on the ballot for either May or September, it has to be turned into the clerk by tomorrow. So when I think Mr. Seligman said, this is a moot point, you guys can do whatever you want to do. Yes, we are. You're right, absolutely right, Mark. So we have language drawn up, and we have language drawn up not saying that it could be changed. But it needs to, we would have liked to have had this meeting 2 weeks ago. I'd like to have this meeting 5 years ago. Maybe we wouldn't be here. All you gentlemen in the room, you've all got a tremendous following. You've got a fantastic following. All of you have people that come to you for advice and everything. And also they come to you for the facts. And this is, I think, what we want to do today is put out the facts. We've got our staff is here. We've got Rob Brandis from Public Works. Finance, we've got most of our staff here, and if you have questions that we can't answer today at this summit, which will last 2 hours, if we can't answer that for you today, we'll have you an answer for that by the end of the day. Okay, so we're serious about this. We want to know what your concerns are, and moving forward, I think probably the best thing to do, because it is law enforcement, I'm going to turn it over to Sheriff Daniel.
Well, thanks.
I'm going to turn it over to Sheriff Daniel.
How do I do? I'll wear on the
helmet. Yeah.
Turn it over to
you. All right. You want to introduce
yourself? So long as we keep it clockwise, I'll be last.
So anyway, I want Sheriff Daniel. We've got some handouts also, that some documentation and some history.
Yeah.
That I think you're going to find real interesting. I got some stuff from the district attorney yesterday that I thought was quite interesting, but we'll pass that out when we get to that subject matter.
Yeah.
So,
one of the things I think this is long overdue. A bunch of very respected men and women in the room here that I think we need to get together. I think and start figuring, what the issues are with the no's and with the yeses and the whys and the why nots. I think it's important that, we're at a stage, I think, within the county that, we have, there's Democrats and there's Republicans and there's liberals and there's conservatives. And I think there's always, when we have that, there's this barrier between the two. They put up these walls. To a certain extent, they're unwilling to communicate and try and figure something out. And it's my feeling, my personal feeling, that I think that we're at a point in Josephine County where I would hope at some point it just comes down to morals and ethics and what is right and what we need to do to try and protect our young and keep them safe, protect our elderly, keep them safe, and at what level, we're willing to come at a table like this to try and find some middle ground. in that light. So, that being said, I thank you for hosting this. Thank you for inviting everybody here. Again, I think it's long overdue. And we need to start communicating because we're getting into a spot here that's, you know, once again, we're getting real shaky, getting real dicey. I can go into what our sheriff's office is facing or what we're looking at if you'd like, the potential thereof. If that's where we would like to start, does anybody have any suggestions where we go?
Yeah, it seems as though really we just wanted to sit around a table with you guys and answer questions that you might have. I don't want to go into why we're here necessarily, regards the past.
Yeah.
I think that's something hopefully we left at the door. It's just that we're at a pivotal point, and one of the reasons I got into this office 6 years ago is the standpoint that the direction we're going is not sustainable, and it's not the direction I don't think anybody who moves to Josephine County wants to have for our future, for our kids, or for that next generation coming up. I think a lot of us have been here a long time. I know that this board was born and raised, so that's a little different than what we've had in the past with people who have come from other areas. No, we all started here, and we would like to finish here. But I think we're getting to a tipping point in our history at the present time of things are getting fairly well defined. We've got that Secure Rural Schools payment that came in at around $2.3 million this last year. And that's the shared receipt. That's what we used to get in 94. I was talking with some people earlier today about how I got here personally and the idea that my predecessor, the guy a lot of you guys helped remove from office, he was proposing 99 cents when he and I were going head to head. And I thought, you know, at that time, it isn't necessary. It's not what we need to be doing. The other side of that coin, so I don't feel like a hypocrite coming up with 93 cents today, is that he wasn't championing forest management as a part of the portfolio. And I'm proud to say that we've got a lawsuit that the counties are partnering against the state for not managing their forest trust lands in Josephine County and around the state. We've got three other lawsuits against the feds right now on ONC issues. The ONC Association just filed litigation on the expansion of the Sissy Crest National Monument, including 40,000 to 50,000 ONC acres. Totally not appropriate, according to a 1939 solicitor's opinion. And then Josephine County is specific in two lawsuits on the resource management plan that the BLM just did that is woefully short of the ONC Act's 500 million board feet. I don't think those lawsuits would be where the front Josephine County is at that effort. We wouldn't be there if Dave Toler, my predecessor, would still be here. So for me, I feel good about that there's a balance between how we're going to fund an appropriate minimum level of law enforcement. And it isn't all on the taxes of the property owners that live in Josephine County. It can't be. It's not the long-term solution. And it has to come from other means, efficiencies within county government, utilizing the county's 30,000 forest acres through an inventory and a doubling of our sustained yield harvest. There's just all of these different things that we've been doing, we've tried, and we will continue to do. But at some point, it's just going to have to be something and an adjustment. But the last thing that I'd say, real quick, is that in 2006, there was a study done, a task force that was set up. So this issue's been going on for a long time, about what an average county takes as far as providing minimum service, and that's going to cost, based on our current opportunities for revenue from property taxes, what is that going to cost? And that task force determined that it was $2.47 a thousand. Was what it took to provide basic services in just any general county in the state of Oregon. And so people who say, well, you just need to improve your economy and build your way out of it. And a lot of business people sitting around here, they understand that if you're selling a widget for 58 cents, and it costs you $2.47 to produce it, you can never sell enough widgets to cover your base cost when you're selling it for so much different. Now, we've got the forest stuff that comes in, it doesn't cost $2.47 to the taxpayer and some other things. But there is a balancing act. At some point, you either have to reduce that $2.47 and the expectation that that's the level of service you're going to provide, or you're going to have to increase some other things, you know, to make that all
But we don't operate like California. We have to operate with a balanced budget. What we bring in resources is what we're able to appropriate in that given year. So we're just looking to kind of reflect that ballot question that said in 2013, the current level of public safety, which is our main charge, we allocate just under 70% of the total discretionary dollars that the board has currently to law enforcement. We're looking to try to shore that question up and say 75% of the people we did with a non-binding question said the current level of service is not meeting your community's needs. So we're looking to you to help us do that.
One of the things that I and Chairman Hare brings up a lot of things, and he fired off a whole bunch of lawsuits that we have. Every one of us, including myself at the table, has no idea what the shelf life and what the termination of that lawsuit is. They all sound good. Well, we're going to sue the BLM. Well, OMP is going to sue the federal government. BLM is going to come in. By God, we're going to do this. We've been doing this for how long? Well, now we're down to the end of it. We got 2.1 million off timber receipts. First time we've done that in a long time. And guess what? That isn't anywhere close to it. So when do these, what my question is when is this lawsuit going to mature? And if it was found in our favor tomorrow or 1 year from now, when do we get the check? What's the opportunity for appeals? And it's going to go to the Ninth Circuit and so on and so on and so on. How far down the road is that? Because we've got to build a bridge between that and permanent financing. So what's that bridge going to be? Is it going to come from the taxpayers? Is it going to be from that we're going to sell hot air balloon rides? What is it? I don't know that. I've been waiting very patiently for 7 years because I've been in the city side of it and now the county side. I've been waiting for that answer to come. And I keep hearing all these various suggestions, and we use those suggestions as a crutch not to do what's right and not to do what can happen today. We have to have something on board that we can start collecting on, whether it be timber receipts or bottles of Rogue River, Live Rogue Water. I don't care what it is. But it needs to start funding the law enforcement side of it starting in July. or you know, we're going to have a drastic cut, and I can't even say that because I'm just looking at the numbers. But I want to know if, you know, and is it a 5-year bridge we need to build? Is it a 2-year bridge? Well, I know this is going to happen in November of 21. Say, good, that's when we're going to get it. We've had people say, well, you know, don't go until next year. Put it off until November of 18, whatever you're going to do. So if you're going to put anything off till November of 18, guess when you get to collect on that? And after money comes back in, when does the money come back in? November of 19. Well, guess what? We can't wait that long. What do? Just let the county put it on hold and kick it into neutral and let it coast for 2 years? I don't think anybody at this table wants that. That's certainly when I ran for public office, and you did, and you did, and you did, and you did. Did any one of us walk up and run on the fact, well, we're going to kick her in neutral and see how far she can coast? I don't think that was what we intended to do here. So the questions I want to ask, and I'm going to cut this short because I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear what maybe your ideas and what your expectation is of this office and where you think the money comes from. Because I've heard it from all over the place. Well, you take from this over here and we pull it from there. Those are the questions we want to field for you today. We want to field those for you today. We want to get this all straightened out so we're all listening to the same rhetoric around the same table. So when we leave here, you can leave and you can attach your own message and your own amendments to it. But at least I want you to hear straight from the horse's mouth. That's exactly what I would like you to hear is exactly any questions, any reservations you have. We've got Jim Goodman here from the juvenile side. We've got the sheriff here from the law enforcement side. We've got Public Works there. Our finance guys here, attorney in the back, you fire off questions and any reservations you have. I think that, would you like to say the proposal that you brought to the board? Would you like to describe what you think needs to happen?
Well, I mean, I saw this potential hot spot coming again. And our commissioners, two of our commissioners were fairly new, and I think we're kind of stale to a certain extent. So I looked at our, Director O'Hare gave me the numbers of a $2.1 million deficit into the law enforcement budget for the sheriff's office. And I did the random numbers on that. And then for us, it was fairly catastrophic. it's running a jail of 80 to 90 people. It's
closing down our patrol division altogether, short of a couple of the contract deputies that we have for Forest Service, or BLM, Marine Board deputy. And so I brought forward, I crunched the numbers about as low as I could go. Well, I went as low as I could go and still have some form of an improvement. So I thought, well, how do I go in front of the public and ask for a patrol deputy? Well, it doesn't really look good. People, not everybody in the city gets the benefit of that patrol deputy. So I decided to try and propose a corrections-only measure that everybody would benefit from. Enough money that would still make an impact, still make a difference, where I would be able to show success to the public, not just ask for money and then ride that same fence. So after crunching numbers, I came up with an 84 cent money measure. It would, in essence, it's about a $6 million levy, or a $6 million money measure. $3 million of that would be just used to cover the deficit, number one, that $2.1 million the sheriff's office is going to receive. And in anticipation of the city likely not renewing a contract, a jail contract, that's another almost $1 million. So basically $3 million of that $6 million is just getting covered what we had. The rest of it is to try and improve and show improvement. Do a lot more with a little bit, per se, considering we're going to do a little bit. But, you know, it would allow me to increase the jail capacity to 185. We're currently at 130. Which is just, I think, barely stops the bleeding, if at all. I would be able to intake all arrested individuals to increase that database. And those people that have the out-of-county warrants that we're oftentimes keeping here because we can't transport them out because we can't hold them, it would increase that number. So I would be allowed to have the ability to kick these people back to Multnomah County or Northern California or wherever they came from to face their own charges in their original communities. It would allow me to pick up about 9 correctional officers, which would be needed to monitor that number of people. And it gets pretty dicey in there, to be honest with you, in the jail. I had my lieutenant run up just some of the numbers that we have currently in the jail, the kind of people we hold in there, and it's to a certain extent shocking. I don't know what's in here, but let me find that real fast.
A little perspective on ICE. It is important. The office in 11, the jail cap is 160 jail beds.
You know, this last summer we had 12 murderers in our jail. We're down to 8 now through the process of getting them gone. One manslaughter, 3 attempted murders, 3 assault 2s, sex abuse 1, and slash rape is 4, robbery is 2, individuals, and arson 1 is 1. And so that doesn't encompass all of the different types of offenders we have in there, violent or other. So the lowest level I could go in the jail would be about 95 before we have complete collapse of the jail system. We have about 25 Measure 11 inmates in there, Measure 11 being the most serious, the most violent offenders in our jail, and that's about an average of about 25. I have 15 beds for community corrections supervisory authority that only a judge would have to sign a warrant basically for us to hold them. I still have the contract with the city, which would, in essence, partially cripple their ability. I have 30 beds, because as it stands right now, the beds for the city, they come in, if we're able to basically reclassify them as county holds, so we can hang on to the city beds longer, we wouldn't be able to do that if I had to go down to 95, but we still could intake the 25 to 30. I do have ICE and U.S. Marshal detainees in there, approximately 15, raises about $400,000 a year for those. So, and then there's 10 treatment beds that we receive money from up in Salem to the tune of about $400,000 on the biennium currently. So going up next later this month.
Those ICE detainees, how long are they taking before ICE picks them up?
We don't have as many ICE detainees as we do U.S. Marshal holds. ICE detainees, sometimes we hang on to them for a while. I mean, they can stay in for 2 months, 5 months. until they go through their federal process to get kicked out, which happens down in Medford. So
they're paying for those.
Oh yes, yeah. All the sources I just spoke of are all revenue sources for us. Everybody I just mentioned, the jail is paid for. We obtain money from that. Upwards of around $100 a day is about the average. Let me see. U.S. treatment beds. I talked about those. We have 10 of those, which is good and seamless. So. That's kind of where we're at a foundational level. So if one of those revenue funds or streams goes away, it really puts us into a slippery slope of going down that hill as to what we can and can't provide as a jail service.
Are these block grants where they say, oh, I want 15 beds held for me, or only when the bed is filled do they pay?
Good question. It's a great question. The Fed, the ICE and the U.S. Marshals, pay on a daily basis, so it's not a block hold. The other beds are blocked and paid for. The city of Grants Pass.
From your perspective, are you still holding those beds when they're not filled, in case?
Good question. They're always filled. They're always filled.
Okay.
They're with the only one that really fluctuates is the treatment beds can fluctuate, but that's a block paid for. The U.S. Marshal and the ICE can fluctuate, and that's where they get this gray area of how much you get, how much don't you have.
And that poses a staffing problem, you know, because what do you staff to? You know, you have to staff to a number.
You don't have historical value, basically, is how we budget for that.
What are the treatment beds for?
Treatment beds are for, like, drug court-type things. If someone's out on the street, say they're in a drug court, and they get sanctioned, or they screw up, or they come up with a dirty urinalysis, the judge can sanction them into the jail. They can come into the jail. They were getting treatment on the outside. They come into the jail. They get treatment on the inside, and they go through three hours of class in the morning and in the afternoon. And then when they get out of jail, say they're 10 or 15 or 20 days up, they go right back into treatment again. So it's that seamless type of rehabilitation is what they're shooting for.
It's really the hammer on 1,000 people that corrections supervises in our community, that aren't taking up space in the jail. If there isn't a hammer, we've seen in the corrections department that 1,000 people, like, what are the ramifications? Who cares? Like, that's up.
I'm going to have to ask you to do those money when I'm going up Thursday and Friday to do that very thing up the jail.
So just again, before you go there on the treatment, if you look at what works in corrections, they will show you that putting someone in jail does not change behavior. But if you couple it with treatment, you have a better outcome. So the treatment that they're doing is cognitive behavior therapy. So the idea is you have your high-risk folks, you're trying to start addressing cognitive therapy to try to offer a different way of thinking about things. So crime isn't the only thing they're considering. And then we're referring them back into treatment when they get out. And so there's a constant flow of who's getting referred in there to try to address to get the best outcome.
Paul, you had a question?
Can I have a few minutes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I know we're all here, us, that to neutralize the opposition. I don't blame you. If I were in your shoes, I'd do the same thing. But we have a certain problem of trust with certain officials. And, for example, the district attorney just tried to sue a guy and say his gun rights related was innocent. It was published in the U.S. Observer. It took jury 15 minutes to find him innocent, 10 minutes, and then he gets mad at the jury for voting the wrong way. And we're paying for this? You see, that's how we got a problem. Instead of prosecuting criminals and child molesters and God knows and bank robbers and God knows what, he's prosecuting innocent gun owner who hasn't done anything. And then we have child services to take children away from innocent parents and break up families. I got names at home. It's been happening for years here. And then we have other things that are like purse, for example. Well, if you collect X amount of money, 40% goes to PERS. If I'm even going to consider this levy, and I know you need it, I don't have a problem with that, is I want to guarantee that if not one penny is going to go for PERS, that's going to go 100% to Dave, And if not, a dime is going to go for raises and benefits to these county cronies who get $100,000 a year plus benefits, because average salary in the private sector is about $40,000 a year if they're lucky. And then you've got seniors who are on fixed income, who are lucky if they get $1,000 a month Social Security and have to pay food is outrageous. My wife just came shopping yesterday, brought six bags home, it was $250. It was outrageous. You see, and then all this goes on your property taxes, and if you don't pay your property taxes, so you fall to your hard net, then you got the tax assessor that they come and take your property away, and he'll come and evict them. So we have credibility issues in this county, and credibility issues have to be addressed because there has to be public trust, and you have to have honor system in this one. You can't have a district attorney that's going to take gun rights away from a law-abiding gun owner for something he didn't do in 3-day trial, and a real estate lady that owns a real estate company was sitting for the whole 3 days, and she's the one who wrote the article. It was outrageous. And he wouldn't listen to reason and wants to make a name for himself. So obviously he's a stinking liberal and wants to take gun rights away from honest law-abiding gun owners. And you see, when people read stuff like this, and then you say, well, pay more because we need more for this, and I know the district attorney's going to get a chunk out of this, but I don't mind if Dave gets it, because I know Dave needs it.
Well, let's take,
but I don't want the district attorney to get anything, or especially first.
Let's take these one at a time, because we have our finance guy right here right now. He's going to explain to you, if we get the 93 cents or 83 cents or whatever, where is it going to go? Because we're, you know, I know there's a couple of levies that went out there and said, oh, it's 100% going to go right here, and then found out, there's an internal service fund. What's that? And I want, we're going to be forthright with you. And then you know what? That's the way it is. We're not going to, I want you to get the right answer here from our finance guy right now.
I don't
want
to pay these people's retirement that are getting $200,000 a year, and I'm going to pay for their retirement.
I'd like to kind of expand on what Paul said, especially with the district attorney's office, and it is a trust issue. You know our activism in the community. We had a family on Slate Creek that was clearly victims of a mortgage fraud scam with the banks. They had the documentation. They had everything. And we took reams of paper showing how the fraud was committed to the DA, and they turned a blind eye to it. They were twice evicted off of their legally owned property by the sheriff's office before Sheriff Daniels was in place. One time with a SWAT team that came up from Metro. Why does Josephine County have a SWAT team going in evicting people off of their legally owned property when one of them was a handicapped woman? And when we showed the district attorney where the fraud took place, how it took place, a blind eye was turned to it. Today, on that same street, we have the federal government threatening to sue a landowner because she had the audacity to put a gate across her property and keep her animals in. And we have the federal government coming down as a big bully going, no, you can't go through there. So when we talk about, and what Paul's touched on, the trust issue and transparency, any household in Josephine County runs some type of a budget. So I heard it's $100 per jail bed. Is it $100 per jail bed? Because I'm going to say the treatment bed is probably more expensive than the normal housing of jail beds. Mm-hmm. So people want to see where their money's going. I want to see a value for my dollar, and I want transparency. Now, when we write our check to Josephine County, we write it to Josephine County. And within it, there's a budgetary process. And we have Public Works, we have the Sheriff's Department, but then we have the Internal Services Fund. Yeah. We know the Sheriff's Department needs the funds. Yet, we're watching that. I heard 84 cents, and I heard 93 cents. I hear two different numbers at this table right now.
We'll carry on with that.
But when we come in, we're seeing the money that I, as a taxpayer, think is going to support the Sheriff's Office skimmed out for things I think are unnecessary. And I think we also need to get down to, we have statutorily, what is required to be provided versus what we like to have. If you look across the county, as the government is feeling the pinch of the economy, so is everybody living in the county feeling the pinch of the economy. And this is not just a simple tax and spend issue, it's a complex issue. We've got a downturn in our economy because we have federal legislation kick us out of our natural resource use. We watched 200,000 acres withdrawn out of the Illinois Valley. we've had roads gated so people can't get to natural resources. Then the economy has slowed and hasn't rebounded, so we don't have the jobs, and we have crime that's going to take place with people trying to feed themselves. So it's not just that the sheriff needs funding. We have a larger problem of the economy in Josephine County that's got to be turned around. I mean, and there's other options. We know from Colonial Valley, they went on the Nextdoor app up there. Crime's dropped 60%. Community involvement also has to be advocated here. I don't think just throwing dollars at things fixes it. There's got to be an understanding, and there has to be some community responsibility and involvement also.
So I would like to take a couple of those. First off, child services is a state function that we have no authority over, we have no access to. We don't work with child services directly with the county. They may work with some county department.
But the judge said the juvenile takes children away here. He's not county, he's county.
The judge is elected by the people and is a state employee. He gets paid through the state judiciary fund. As does the district attorney, there's a small portion that is paid by the county, about 25%. But the district attorney, when Stephen Campbell stepped down and Ryan Mulkins was appointed to fill the end of Stephen's term, he was appointed by the governor. So those are state offices.
No, I know that.
So,
but he still gets part of your funds, like 25%.
But there's a question, if there's a state office, why is the county paying?
We're working on that.
We are. That is a question we're asking. That is one of
we're
the things.
We're seriously working on
you're telling him to clean up his act, or you're going to cut his 25% off?
No, he doesn't work for us. He's
he doesn't work for us.
Officially. He's not.
The 25% goes to his department for assistant DAs and things of that sort. But it, you know,
no,
you're talking about
no,
no,
we
not
pay part of his salary.
We pay part of his salary.
We and all his employees we pay for as well. Yeah. But him himself is a state elected official.
So I know that, but take part of his salary that we pay, take that away from him and tell him to clean up his act and then come back and see you. You got to get tough like Trump, otherwise we're not going to get anywhere in this county.
We're not even talking about that. We're talking about it's a state elected official who prosecutes state.
Well, I know that, but you can give him 25% of the funds.
Walters, let me finish. State elected official prosecuting state laws in front of a state court. Maybe the state should be paying for all of that, and that's what we're at.
That's what we're at.
Not the little
$20,000.
Okay. I just want you to know that we're working on that effort. That is not our. We don't have oversight over Mr. Goodwin, which we do have, like the DA. That's different. Mr. Goodwin's doing something that we don't like.
We do have oversight over him that we don't over
the
DA.
Is there precedent for this?
No. We're trying to set that.
We're working on that.
Isn't Wilson County one of two counties in the state that does this?
Does what?
Pay for the district attorney?
No, every county.
Every county has
it. Kendall.
Kendall? Okay.
Imagine they're on the east side.
So
it's a choice. It's a county choice.
Absolutely, it is.
It is not mandated anywhere.
But we're not asking just about the extra that we pay him. We're asking about the whole department. Why is that coming out of our minimums when we don't have people safe in the community with patrol? That is a county mandated. So we get a chart from the state of what the state provides. What is shared responsibility? What is county responsibility? Sheriff is county responsibility. District attorney is not.
Well, I understand that, but tell him right to his face that the portion that he gets from the county, he's going to lose unless he cleans up his act.
Okay. But we're looking at a bigger picture. So in that, it's not just going to be that. We're trying to find a better way to fund our community. Mm-hmm. So why are we paying for a state office?
Right.
We're looking at that.
Exactly.
$2 million is what we currently fund the district attorney's office about that, correct?
No. Well, that's a lot of money. Down to him. We can give this to him.
And that's why we're asking the question.
$2 million.
Correct.
Wow.
And what could we do with that?
And
absolutely.
What's the timeline on that?
Yeah.
Is that going to happen between now and May or June? We don't have a timeline on that. We're working on these things. I mean, that's what I'm talking about is a bridge. Where are we going to get there? Now, you asked
okay.
about 93 cents tonight.
Well, hold on. I still have my list.
What happens if you guys just stop paying?
So tell me how it serves our community to not prosecute people that we arrest and go through the process.
Well,
But if it's a state
if you want them function, held when they're doing something,
huh,
it is a state function. But it is one of those things until we look through our legal options, which that is something that we are looking at right now. Until we have that answer, it would be premature to stop and create a bigger gap in the system. I can tell you that we've heard Commissioner Dion say over and over when the person who stole his car, his truck, got arrested and they learned that he'd been arrested so many times over, that's frustrating. And how many people in the community, the whole system has to work. You know, but to me, I find the jail to be one of the critical pieces that helps all the other spokes. So as far as the DA's office goes, he individually is elected state office that we do not have authority over him, but child welfare as well. When it comes to PERS, it's not 40% that we're paying out of a budget for PERS. It's about $7. We can get you a more specific thing, but it's about 7 out of $100, so a lot less percentage. It's not 40, it's 7%.
Yeah, but give that 7 to him.
We're required
yeah.
to pay the PERS. We can't not pay PERS.
We are investigating when we do a new hire, so we have a new process, hire a new deputy, but they have the option of electing into a separate, other than PERS, retirement system. We haven't gotten that yet. But I would like to just point this out. Everything's on the table for us
mm-hmm.
right now.
Yeah.
We're discussing things yeah. that have never been discussed before, have never been proposed.
About time, man.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a challenging time for our community, but this is where really creative ideas
should have done this sooner.
Well, and that's our first chance.
The wherewithal to do that wasn't there.
One more thing. ISF. So what is an ISF? Let's talk about that for a minute. Right now, it's human resources. So if this levy were to go forward, we've heard that the sheriff has talked about that he would increase 9 corrections officers. Do you have any employees currently in juvenile detention that are hired? No. It's a rhetorical. I know the answer. No, you have 0 employees in juvenile detention. You would have to hire. HR is who does the hiring for our county. And that is one of those functions. Our ISF, Internal Service Fund, covers the functions that all of county services uses so that each individual department doesn't have to hire an HR person, a IT person, a finance person,
payroll and
legal. So those are the functions that are all. So here's one of the things that we actually as a board talked about, because one of the pieces that's in ISF is us, the board. Well, we understand that that's controversial, so our offer is we're going to remove ourselves from the ISF and put us in the general fund.
That lowers the rate. Lowers
so the here's the other thing. It's always been said that when you have a levy, that 10% of that levy is going to go to ISF. No, it's not. The ISF, those internal service fund departments, have a budget, just like everybody else, and it costs this much for those budgets. When that levy comes on base, there's more money available that divides into that now, so it actually lowers the rate of what's needed. Not increasing it, that money doesn't just automatically go into that ISF. Here's what the budget is. So instead of it being, this is how much we need to get there, divided by 30 million, now it's this is how much divided by 40 million, so it's going to lower the rate. Unless we need one more HR person to handle the influx, there's not going to be big budget changes in those departments. So there's not an automatic influx, and the ISF rate is looked at every single year. Is it appropriate to meet those services? But I can tell you that the sheriff's office uses legal. I can tell you they use IT. I've seen it. I've used their programs. They use HR for hiring. The finance department does payroll, and they do billing for any contracts and this and that. Those are all functions that they use, and by spreading it through the whole county, the cost is less for every department. So the other thing that we're doing is that is all listed on the levy language. So there's not a question of where it's going, but what you do not see listed there is the Board of County Commissioners. Because intentionally, the idea is that we're being transparent, it's exactly labeled where that money is going, and it is the functions that apply to that department. They cannot operate without their computer system. They cannot operate without their building fund. where you'll see them to get certification. They have to be painted so often. They have to do all this other kind of stuff. There's these mandates that have to happen. So the building facility fee that they have to pay, that's not ISF, it's separate, but that's also going to be listed there. So anything that possibly pays, so the function of the jail can be, is listed there. But those are not just things. You don't buy a car and not pay your insurance, not pay your fuel, not pay your oil change. Those things make your car run or and keep you legal on the street. Those are those things that come with it. So the question is, what has to be there, what's not? Well, we took us out.
I think we need to go on to something.
Okay.
I think you've
the question is, and we're talking new ideas, I understand that we as taxpayers, we put the jail, we put the infrastructure in place for government function to run. Now, if we go get a building permit as a taxpayer, we're charged a fee. Why, and this is just an idea, why are we not charging these prosecuted criminals for their jail time?
We have.
It was $100 a day. I mean, it may not be a collectible thing, but anybody that's going through the system, charge them the time they spend in jail.
Bill did.
It's unlawful. We were the only county doing it when it was enacted, and it's, no other county does it, and we can't do it.
There's actually a state law against it?
Yes, it's a law. I'll get that information. I can tell you we're the only ones. I talked to our legal up in Washington County, their legal counsel, and he said, get out of there now. As a matter of fact, it's almost unfortunate you brought that up in fear of lawsuits, so let's move on.
we did pursue that, and it really wasn't very good.
And then, as a matter of fact, the amount we were receiving was about $30,000.
Just quickly on
ISF.
I ran a heating and air conditioning shop for 37 years, and I kept departmentally how much money they were making, if they were in the proper picture or not. My sheet metal department fell below that line, and so I brought it to them, and I said, what's this? And I said, it's the front office, it's office staff. And they go, well, all they do is answer phone for the service department. They didn't do anything for us, so take us out. I said, well, that's good. We'll do that. So I did that 1 month, and I said, wow, look at this on payday. I said, you guys brought that up. That's super. They says, good. And I said, you know, here's your paycheck. I put one in my pocket. I said, see you guys later. And he says, where's ours? And I said, you didn't want to pay for that girl at the front office because that's all she did was answer the phone. She also calculates your taxes, pulls out your withholding, takes care of everything for you, health insurance and everything. By the way, she doesn't do that for you anymore because you did not want to hire her to do that segment of your operation. Immediately, I go, well, nope, now I understand ISF. And that's exactly what it is. It's very, very simple. There is a percentage, and as Commissioner Morgan said, that percentage goes up, and it's amortized over company-wide because everybody in the company basically used those two girls in the front office, whether you like it or not. They're the ones that, yeah, they're answering the phone, but they're doing other things. So,
Mr. Rice, you talked about the total taxes. You write your check to Josephine County. I've had employees in my office say, how can you not do this? We just wrote you a check for $1,400, $2,000. I said, you wrote it to Josephine County, right? You know we only keep 7.9% of that check on the average. So I don't know if you knew that, Mr. Walters.
No.
We don't run it off of every property tax dollar that you provide to us. The tax statement is broken down here. I'll just give you that really quickly. It's a little under $7 billion of taxable assets, $70 million. And we ship out statutorily under 30 days, 91% of every dollar we collect goes to the education, goes to grants staff, goes to RCC, goes to 4-H, and we have 13 special districts in Joseph
County. So this levy that you're considering is 93 or 84 cents a thousand.
93 cents.
93 cents.
Yeah.
Is it going to go 100% for sheriff?
No.
And juvenile?
And juvenile detention.
And those internal services are also covered in that. It's an administrative element.
And a certain amount are going to go to DA and...
No.
Nothing to the DA.
It's jail and juvenile detention.
Jail.
The portions of the ISF that covers...
And no raises for county employees.
I don't get a raise.
So it pays for jail and juvenile detention.
I don't mind deputies getting raises because they deserve it. But I'm talking about others.
It only covers jail and juvenile detention employees. Period. And the function of those buildings. Period.
That's
and
correct.
The internal
service. It goes directly to
the only part to say that by law that has to take place.
If this levy goes forward, it cannot be manipulated in any way.
Yeah, okay, at least it's written here, it can only go to those three destinations. Well, it's got six definitions enumerated in the ballot title and explanatory statement. So those are Sheriff's Office, Juvenile Department, and yes, legal as part of the ISF,
right.
As well as finance, human resources,
okay.
And
the ISF, of course,
IT. So those are your six. They're all outlined in there. And as Willie, Commissioner Morgan stated, it's not going to go to the board. I think after they would take a subsequent action here that they're planning on taking, we should remove themselves from the ISF.
Right. So I'm writing down things that I
need to do. Your question didn't get maybe answered. Are you going to
know? And that's not 100% accurate. Fleet is included in this. If you need the car for the jail, it's included in that.
It's included.
If I needed the facility, it's going to be paid for.
Yeah.
Well, if I could recommend it, let's say a car costs $50,000 that you need. Mm-hmm. You can get a car of $40,000. Let's say you can get that a year old. With maybe 20,000 miles on it, then it's good for 100,000, 150,000. Get a used one so you can save a little bit. Save as much as you can instead of getting a brand new car.
Right there that I drove over here, it's a $25,000 car. It's got 85,000 miles on it. I bought it for $10,000 from the Bureau of Land Management.
There you go.
I just did it.
That's how you do it.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, Fleet just asked me for budgeting for next year, what I needed. They said, do you need two cars? I said, I really don't think I need two cars because I think I can go out and buy another one just like that. But I do need one more new one for patrol. But because of the age of you don't get your bang for the buck.
And then you have to outfit it with all the equipment.
That one I didn't. I bought it that way.
So we, as a county, had created a public safety fund. And there are funds that we have dedicated to that. So currently, is it our SRS?
Shared receipt.
It goes to the public safety fund, not through the general fund. It goes straight to the public safety fund. This levy, with the 93 cents, would allow a capacity in the jail of up to the 185 beds that we talked about. It would be juvenile detention to the 14 beds. But the money that we currently are putting from the shared receipts from the general fund, the 58 cents, that we 70% of it that we put into the public safety fund, is still there. And so now, 100% of the shared receipts, 70% of the 58 cents. So that money now is available. All right, it's close.
$1 million road money that you have put away, can you give that to him?
Hold on, we'll get there too. That's a good question.
That's a great question.
So we have those monies there. So now that money is available to fund the district attorney's office and the sheriff's patrols. So this is how it is a benefit to the community with patrol by taking the jail and the juvenile detention there, because now those are out of those public safety funds. They're covered by this, so now we have that money that we can spread across to the patrol on that. And you know, you talk about the shell game. It's not a shell game to other county departments. It's to the public safety fund that the other services can be covered.
Well, that's a good question. We'll go to
a couple of minutes like Paul had. First, I want to thank you all for having this meeting. It's the first time the Board of County Commissioners in my 18 years has sought public input, so that's a good thing. This is all about public trust. We cannot be taxed into prosperity. What Joseph Rice says is entirely true. The economics of this area is not good. I'll tell you how the public, and I'm here for the public. I'm not here to figure out what you can do. I'm here for the public, and the public has spoken. I think in 18 years, they've spoken 10 times no, all different kinds of levies. I tell you how the public would have more confidence in the Sheriff's Department. I stood in front of the Budget Committee and the Board of County Commissioners 6 to 8 months ago, and I said that $1 million plus wasn't road money. It was windfall revenues from timber, I believe. And the Sheriff did not get up and speak for his department. The reason is, well, the money would be gone. Well, if you have $1 million and you live in Illinois Valley and it's $140,000, Cave Junction pays the county for a deputy, you can have 2 deputies 1 year, continuing the next year. That was never even done. It's almost like when the government has money, and they did, and they have road money on top of that, the public doesn't get it. They hold on to it. But when you want money from the public, you give them a tax. We've had 18 years of levies. And long-term solution has been said for 18 years, and we come to this. The same solution has always been a levy. It's not working. You're not going to get the voters to vote for it, and now you're still going to have the problem. Commissioner Hare campaigned in 2010. He says, not on the taxpayer's back. He's been for every levy. Then we have these SRS payments. Unfortunately, Greg Walden did not get behind the last one. I don't know why. He'd rather have jobs in the woods. Well, that's great. But we have to have these SRS payments. Now, you take the average person in Josephine County makes $31,000 a year. You take the ones that make less, the retired people. This levy will cost them between $20 and $80 a month based on their property. You take someone on Social Security with $800 a month, you're going to ask them to not have that dinner with their sweetie, to not buy that steak. Is that fair to them?
Mark, I think I don't want to interrupt you, but you can't say things that are just totally inaccurate about the per month cost.
Well, it depends on the size of your property.
I know.
It could be as little as 20. They own a high expensive property. It could be closer to 80.
You can't go along with using the county average. If you want to use that, it's under $12 a month. So if you want to agree to that.
It depends on
that's where
some
you're
people
at.
Own homes.
I totally agree. Okay. Yeah, some people are bigger, some people are small.
The average
is under.
Okay, they're in tax arrears to begin with, so now you're adding more. Now we'll take the job counts. I'm reading in the paper $400,000 a year the county may have to spend because of some losses. Well, that would buy a few deputies. Why did the county hold on to this job council for years? They never did anything. They should have ditched them a long time ago. So what am I saying? I'm saying government mistakes, and now the public has to pay. To me, Commissioner DeYoung and Morgan, you guys ran, and you were asked many times, are you for a levy? You said, no. 4 years from now, somebody asked us to put it on the ballot. Well, that's what Lily said. This isn't 4 years. We just voted in November, and you're going against 60% of the voters. Now, wasn't it a catastrophe 6 months ago? And yet the sheriff didn't speak up. Nobody on the budget committee wanted this $1.5 million. Now, by the way, the city will not pay out of their water and sewer bills anymore. But I talked to two counselors, and they're going to do the same thing, according to them, that Lily did, $1 million out of the city coffers to pay. So what this basically comes down to is public trust. You got to hear the people. You're not hearing the people. You're probably going to put it on the ballot anyway, and the public's going to defeat it. Now what are you going to do? So I want you to think. I have another solution I have. It's pare back whatever department you can. Pare back the planning department. There isn't much building going on. I don't know what the budget of the planning department is. Arthur could tell me. But you plan back every single department as much as you can and give the sheriff the money. I'm not against law enforcement. I just want you to trust in the public. Past commissioners haven't done it. Don't go down that road. You will erode your trust if you put this on the ballot. Thank you.
I'd like Commissioner Hare to address the amount of people that are hired by the county and how long it's been. And then I think this would be a good time to hand this out because we've been talking a lot about the DA and what the DA has done and so on and so forth. But while I'm passing this out and explaining it, then Simon can, Commissioner Hare can go. This, I got this from that I'll just pass around. We just pass this and send some that way and I'll keep one and then kind of go over it with you. What this is caseloads, and we talked about the district attorney and how they're not necessary and so on and so on, and they aren't doing a good job. I'm going to go back through, and when you get this in front of you, I want you to go through cases, the case referred to court. This is different caseloads, and it looks like 3 and 4 month quarters all the way through, and it'll tell you how many cases was prosecuted, how many cases were processed by the district attorney. On the blue graph,
how many cases in there were innocent?
Just a second. I'm going on workload here. Okay. The outcomes. I don't have that information. Individual charges issued quarterly, and that's the red graph. The one I want you to look at is basically in the cases referred July through September of 2012. There was 891 cases referred to the district attorney. Of that, it gives that pie chart shows where they came from. 64% of them came from the city of Grants Pass. OST had, Oregon State Police had 94 cases, or at 11%. But the one I want you to look at is the 4%, the green sliver. That's the cases that were referred to the DA by the Sheriff's Department. Okay? that was when basically there was some money in the thing to have a sheriff's department staff. Then I want you fast forward to 2016. And we go to the same pie chart, 59% from the city, because I think it was working out there at the jail. When you incarcerate somebody, they have a warrant out for Clackamas County, they're gone. They don't come back here. So the workload in the city is kind of beginning to slide down, because you know what? The jail is working in 2016. But the one I want you to look at is that green slice again. Because the sheriff's department is the one we're talking about today. The sheriff now has 12% of this pie chart are cases referred to the district attorney. He has tripled the amount in 4 years. He has tripled the amount of work he's done with less budget. He's doing a heck of a lot more with less. So I just wanted to point that out to you, because we're talking about the DA, we're talking about, gee, what's the sheriff doing with the money, and so on and so forth. He has proven right here, he's demonstrated that he can do more with less. And he's done a good job.
These are good.
These are good figures.
Yeah, well, supposedly you could do more with less.
And I'm giving you this just so you have it in your thing.
So first off,
the difficulty is at some point less is going to be such less that would go to zero. That's what I'm afraid of. And to address Mark, if you will let me, just that $1 million that I didn't ask for. If I asked for $1 million in road funds, which if you could ask Mr. Brandis now, that obviously, thank goodness we have those funds in there, at least with what's going on currently in our county. If I asked for $1 million in road funds, I hire, say, 10 new deputies. I train up 10 new deputies. The process to hire, train, get into the academy is just about a year. So I perfectly train with $1 million of our Gilskin County funds. And now I look at the situation where I'm at now, where I lose everybody on patrol. The difficulty of that is now I've trained way for $1 million.
And I didn't tell you to do $1 million. I said to do a portion of that. And that wasn't road money.
This is something that I really disagree with, and it was Walker's theme song.
Okay.
You have to hire everybody with every dime we have this year. Mm-hmm. Why? Why don't you hire one guy for 10 years rather than 10 guys for 1 year? Why don't you hire two guys for 5 years?
Right.
Why? Think of something else.
So
I'm not putting it to your table, but Walker just thought sang this song day after day.
Okay.
Is we have to spend all the money now, and we're going to lose it all in a year.
Well,
I was on that budget committee, and I didn't agree with Commissioner Walker's point of view about how that was.
I agree. I'll tell you the thing that was discouraging in the budget committee. Was not that you didn't take the $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of from a business point of view said put the $1.5 million away, because as you know, we were just coming out of what was termed a terrible crisis. We were just about to go to the governor and turn over your department to the state of Oregon. That was under the pressure we were under 1 year ago from right now. But the budget committee wouldn't put it in your name. And I said, why is that? Why wouldn't they put it in your name? Because they wanted it, they were not really planning on giving it to you, maybe. Now, I think that I thought, in what I heard in that committee, they were going to give it to you, but they wouldn't put it in your name. And we talked about doing that, and they said, no, we're not going to put it in your name. We'll put it in a special fund, but not in your name. It's going to go over here in a joint venture fund where we can be flexible.
There's that trust thing again.
So,
yeah. And that was what it is. It's all trust. How you did it behind the scenes, but what you guys are up against, and I like what you said, and it's true, but you can't ignore, when we say the word trust, we're talking about past.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about today. We're not talking about solving any problems today. We're talking about 25 years of what's gone on that is going out in the community and cycled around and around and around, just in animal shelter. When they pulled the money that you used to get the animal shelter out when you got the new levy, it all went everywhere. That's the same thing right now. I have to ask every time, is this 93 cents on top of what you always give, the 70% of the 58? Or are you going to reach in there and grab a bite of that?
So that's good.
And we have to ask that every year, because we never hear that.
I think the road dollars is something we should probably talk about. So I was on the budget committee and the board when we appropriated $425 to do an interim gap measure to shore up the sheriff department before Dave Daniel. You talked about public trust. I'm not sure what that actually got us. It wasn't a bridge to anywhere. I'm not in favor of utilizing this $1 million windfall. No, those were historic revenues that we counted on in our road department to pay for things. Because not a general fund dollar of your property taxes, and a lot of people don't know this, goes to public works. That's how we fund it. There's 580 miles of road, and they're meeting one quarter of their maintenance requirement. And I've had the sheriff say, I'd rather drive on roads with potholes rather than not having patrol. That's great, but you're not making a decision about today. You're making a decision in 20 years from now whether or not it's going to be $1 million to redo that mile of road, or is it going to be $100,000? And for me, managing an asset like a forest or a road on a 30-year rotation, I can't do a stopgap measure that doesn't get me anywhere. I can't provide those road dollars that doesn't provide the bridge when we're not meeting our minimum maintenance requirements. Now, without doing major efficiency improvements in our public works department, which we're investing money in doing a performance review to make sure we're as efficient as we could be, but I don't agree that there was ever an agenda to give those dollars. I am not going to. I will vote vehemently against appropriating those dollars, and there is a piece of amendment to 4176 that will be before the legislature this year that any county that has less than $10 million in their road reserve does not have the option of utilizing those road dollars. And we're the only county in that situation out of the seven that are qualified under 4176 that only will affect us.
What does Curry County have?
29 million.
Well, it's not
Mammoth has in 99 million.
Oh, the road's a catastrophe?
So let's look at that. Let's look at the cost to our county of unbudgeted costs from last month alone. What I mean,
last month alone is 100-year talk. Yeah. Last month alone is 100-year talk. Can't use that. He has to fix it.
Right.
But we can't say that that's...
But without that money in a reserve of either the general fund reserve or the road reserve, that money still doesn't get paid for it.
You know, I have no problem with this as far as exactly what you say and even keeping their funds.
Yeah.
Except what we hear in the public is we're in enormous crisis. Not a little crisis. Not a little thing we can squeak through. An enormous crisis. We're ready to give our department to the governor. And had it not been, I believe, for the three representatives, that would have happened. That I sat in the lipstick meetings and I saw every single person in that lipstick willing to vote and did vote. And there was, I think, only one down vote.
Community corrections.
Everybody. There was
but the question was, is it today or potential?
Yeah, and I'm not really sure that it matters. I mean, it does.
They're an advisory board, though, as well.
The board
I understand
is
that.
Not receptive, and that's really what matters.
But it came, and again, thank goodness you guys are here, because I know where it came from. But that's what the public hears. Yes, and let me finish here. You started in 2012 with letting 39 prisoners out, and you put it on the front page. Tell me another time we've put prisoners out on the front page ever.
I'd like to know that I control the Courier, Mr. Hunker, because that's
never... Yeah, I sold it.
Very kind to
me. No, that was
doing a very good job.
No, but that was put out as a press release.
But that's also...
It was not the Courier.
That wasn't
the public.
Yeah. But that was not his short.
Previous sheriff. Okay, so that was strike one.
About marketing our community.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live here, we work here, we raise our families here. And we want to show Grant Pass, Josephine County, to be a good, positive community.
Yeah.
The problem is the narrative that comes out of this building in the past and out of the sheriff's office is we're in dangerous times.
Wallace County.
It's a Wallace County. And we're not. I lived in Miami. I understand what a lawless county looks like.
Came from LA.
I lived in Massachusetts. I understand what lousy roads look like.
We
do not have that here in Josephine County. We don't even make or rank the top 10 most dangerous cities in the state of Oregon. Medford ranks number one or two. Yet with our marketing, we have our realtors here that are telling people and doctors and lawyers and things that are moving into our community, these professional people, they're saying, oh, Medford's much safer. Fully staffed police department, fully staffed sheriff's department, most dangerous city, violent, dangerous
third year running
state of Oregon.
Yeah, well, we've never made the top 10.
You know, I don't want to get there though, Bill.
I mean,
there's no hope of getting there.
I'm listening to the take 400,000 here and 1,000,000 here, and let's do that. I'm listening to my family wants pizza and they want it by golly tonight, but the refrigerator's empty, and I'm supposed to ignore the fact that the refrigerator's empty and will continue to be empty as long as I buy that pizza today. Instant gratification rather than looking at the long term.
No,
that's why I want to see that bridge.
Point about taking funds from, you know, allocating funds from everywhere else.
Yeah.
I know where every general fund dollar goes that's outside the law enforcement system, and I can quote it for you really closely right now.
How much is the planning department?
The planning department is around two.
And the whole thing.
200,000.
The whole community development department is 200,000.
The whole community development department is
from the general fund.
General fund. Surveyor
funded us.
Surveyors, 30,000. Clerk, okay. 60,000. The assessor is right around 600. We get a pink slip
salary
in
there.
The whole department is paid for
so
by general.
You're not understanding what he's saying. He's not saying the whole department budget. The department budget that comes from the general fund that we have a say over.
So all of that.
Where does the rest of it come from?
Grant
fees.
Fees and grants.
Salaries.
From outside.
It's not discretionary, Mark, so it's really not relevant to the conversation. What you want to know is how come I'm not allocating every single time? And so from an example, in Klamath County, they pay their full-time surveyor over there. We don't. Ours is $2,400 a year to that elected official. And we even looked at reducing that. Pardon me, Mr. Surveyor. I mean, there's those conversations have been happening, and we may do that. We may pull $60,000 from the clerk this year, which means you won't be able to get your passports, your marriage license, those kinds of things. Happy Valentine's
Day.
You know what I mean? That's where we're at that level. So we appropriate, and I'm going to just say this, more general fund discretionary dollars that this board does to our law enforcement services than any other county in the state.
Good.
We have to get to a point where it's like offices will start shutting down if we don't provide, and the assessors, so you have that thing. All of the districts in the county, their revenues are generated because we send out a tax bill, and it has the name of Josephine County. If we could change that to where you're writing a check to Grants Pass District 7 or Three Rivers or the city of Grants Pass at $4.60 a thousand, 10 times ours almost, we would love to do that, but you don't. You pay it to us, and we ship it out within 30 days. And so that's the struggle, is that we wouldn't even be having this conversation if the taxpayers did that, paid their checks to where. You'd be talking to the school districts and the city about, wait a second, you get 10 times what the county gets, and we provide all these services. We're talking about decimal dust as far as a $3.7 million problem this year. We're looking for long-term solutions. If there was a bridge, if we knew a resolve to a piece of litigation, we're getting another funding stream, I would appropriate those road dollars because it'd be a long-term solution. I'd do it tomorrow. I don't have that, and I will not make another mistake of a loan of 425 that I don't want to be here long enough to have to repay.
Simon, again, are the roads a catastrophe? I don't think so. But you claim this is a catastrophe. When you have a catastrophe in front of you, you do something immediately.
So let's bring up Dan Creek Bridge. Rated at 92 out of 100 in our assessment last year. Dan Creek Bridge. It was one of our best bridges in Josephine County. It rated a 92 out of 100. And with the washout from last month, it is now having to be replaced. And not all of the cost, the federal government will cover through FEMA to replace it.
We have 100 bridges, Mark.
We are not in a place.
Who doesn't get law enforcement? What is it for them?
Again, when you have a house, if you do no maintenance at all, your house loses value, and the cost in the end run to repair it and fix it is so astronomical that had you done little steps along the way, it would have been affordable. But now you're in trouble because you get to that long-term plan where you haven't done maintenance.
Separated into administrative elements, and you are all talking about trust.
Right.
What if trust isn't really the issue, you can disagree with me, Mr. Hunker, and you probably will, about my decision to appropriate road funds or not. But that isn't a trust issue. That's not what I see as a trust issue. That's an administrative policy decision. You know, that's why I ran for office and took the gentleman out prior to me, because he didn't want to work on forest management, and I think that's an absolute...
He wanted taxes, you did?
Yeah. And so that's where your solution to that is not to debate me.
That's why
it's to run against me next time I run. you're not going to solve that problem here of a disagreement of how I want to appropriate road dollars or not. How do we solve this trust problem? What is it, the information that you guys want? I haven't heard from you yet, or you yet. I'd really like to hear, what are those things that we can actually say, okay, these are the list of things that we're going to do different next year to change that public perception deal.
Well, let's talk about numbers. I hear 186 in the jail.
185
beds. Where did that come from? Why does Justin County need 185 beds? We've traveled around, we've looked and surveyed other counties, and it seems to be one bed per thousand. So if we go up to Lane County, they have 385 beds for a population of 385,000 people. So how are we so much higher?
Okay. I think you're actually going to get that answer, well, probably
yeah.
accurate.
So I think where I'm going, where I'm looking at, is if we look at if it costs us $100 a day per bed. So if we look at 186 beds, the only way we're going to reduce that is reduce the crime and criminal impact in here. Now, with the lack of patrols in the sheriff's office, that's not going to happen. So we have to have some type of a community outreach or other program. Doug Burrell up in Colonial Valley started next to him. It's the modern-day neighborhood watch. He has over 500 homes on it, and for the sheriff's office, crime in Colonial Valley has dropped 60%. What that equates to is a need or lack of need for jail beds. So the idea is, how do we get crime to drop in Josephine County? Because if we do that, we're not going to be hit economically with the funding of more jail beds or the need for more jail beds or the need for more patrol. And where I'm going with this is, I think when we talk about trust and transparency, we never see it broken down to the penny of where the money is going or how it's going to be used, because that leads to accountability. So let's look at something different. Let's look at, if we want patrols and government's responsibility is public safety, and I spoke to the sheriff and thousands across other guys, what if we establish districts, like we have school districts and fire districts? But the deal on that is we put a resident deputy in the district. So Colonial Valley becomes a district. And I'm not saying taxing district, I'm saying 1,000 households, what does it cost for a deputy? What's it cost in salary, in vehicle, in administration? Let's bring their salaries up to their counterparts in the city. So we have a professional department that's paying the equivalent as a city, and we're not washing the bail off. But that deputy now is responsible, and his world is Colonial Valley. And that is now community policing. His priorities is establishing neighborhood watch or next door, and we get back to a peace officer. So now what happens is you've attacked the accountability side of it, because now I live in Colonial Valley, have my resident deputy, I know who he is, and it goes both ways. They have a community assembly, which becomes a voice to this body, a voice to the sheriff's office, and that resident deputy works that area. So it takes five deputies to staff one patrol 24/7 a day. Well, right now we've got two patrols. There's 10 deputies. We have 10 districts in the community, and the deputy lives there, works there, learns the people, learns his neighborhood, learns everything. And then those individuals in the community are paying directly for that deputy and supporting that deputy.
That is a taxing district then.
Taxing.
Let's talk about that, Joseph, I'm sorry. When I started in dispatch in 2000, we had a community-oriented policing grant that funded the sheriff's office. They had hired all these folks right before that, and we had a resident deputy, and at the time he covered Sunny Valley, Wolf Creek. We had a North Valley deputy. We had a South Valley deputy. We had two Illinois Valley deputies. We had a Williams deputy. So we, at the time, had 6 to 8 deputies per shift 3 times a day, and they would be assigned. And every day they went to that district. They were responsible for that district. How do we do that when it took not 5 for the whole thing? It took 8 a shift. So that was 24 a day.
But that's what I'm talking about. Is we look at shifts. We want 24-hour coverage. Geographically, we have to accept Josephine County is too large to provide reasonable law enforcement coverage.
Without a resident deputy.
So if you put a resident deputy in Williams, one in Cave Junction,
sure.
Now O'Brien is not complaining about never seeing a sheriff's patrol because they know the resident deputy lives in Cave Junction.
Right.
They live there. They become part of the community. and they set their shift schedule. If they say, I'm going to work a normal shift and Friday I'm going to go on at 4 in the afternoon or until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because of the issues, that's what they do.
The problem with that is, Joseph, what happens if he's by himself and he needs a backup? Yeah. Especially in a dangerous area, you always have two.
That doesn't remove the role of patrols. And part of it is, and we talk about this, if you have a resident deputy, I mean, New York City, in the 30s and 40s, you had a single cop walking a beat down in Harlem. That was a violent place, but there was a strike.
I think I'd like to hear Dave's response, because he ran on...
I did run on this, and this was not a campaign promise, but it was a campaign, certainly a hope, the direction I wanted to go to. There's obviously difficulties with getting new deputies in that are willing to go out into these rural areas. That's a hurdle. And, should I receive allocated money that could, in fact, increase my patrol division, I'm going to attempt to do just that with new hires, title positions rather than deputy positions, because we sorely, sorely need them.
But what we're talking about today is law enforcement, and we're pointing more towards the jail because that's what the ballot measure is going to look at, is the jail. Baby steps. Well, how many times have we tried to take everybody's wants and wishes at this table and lump it into one levy attempt, and it gets shot down every time because the people in the city say, I don't want patrols. Check the box, no. And everybody's got their own little idea of what it should be like. So we're going to try, with the sheriff wants to say, I just want to focus on that jail because everybody uses the jail.
And I do, and what I don't want,
to,
and the reason the jail was to focus on this is you guys obviously brought up the Jackson County issue. The other jails have something to that effect. They're a turn and burn. I mean, it's ridiculous. They should have a 600 or 700. If they did a study on that, they would need that.
Yeah.
And I know Corey Balls, my sheriff, was starting down that road to get that funded. Or start down the campaign. That's the problem they're in, is they are turning and burning so fast. That's my concern here, is that I'm going to get down to a level, maybe some say I'm there now, but if I get down to a level, that's what we're going to have. I can remember when I worked for the city of Grand Pass, issuing a citation to a gentleman that I just arrested for burglary. He kicked in a door of a house that was occupied, that didn't know was occupied, issued a citation in the back of my car and took the handcuffs off and let him walk away. That's not law enforcement. That certainly isn't justice. So that's my concern, and that's why I went forward with the proposal.
So one of the things I'd like to bring up as well is one of the things that we're talking about as a commission that is not a taxing revenue in trying to dedicate funds to our forest trust, and that's something we haven't brought up yet. Another way of having a revenue source to provide the service so that it's taking the burden out of what else is there. So I think you probably are in a better spot to speak on it. Would you be willing?
Sure. You mean a revenue source like a taxing district?
No.
Well, I never support a taxing district.
No.
So Josephine County manages about 30,000 acres of forest land that we acquired through tax foreclosures in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. We haven't been managing them very efficiently, I would say, for the last couple of years. But we've done an inventory. We know how much we have.
What does management mean?
Management, cutting trees.
Cutting trees, yeah. Growing trees.
Growing
sustainable cutting trees.
Yes.
Yeah, like you sell the timber, so that.
Yes, yeah. And in conforming with the Oregon State Forest Practices Act. So we've increased our revenues, increased our harvest, and it's all sustainable still. And we are actually working with Carl Wilson's office on a bill. That map over there, see those right over here?
The left one?
Right here? See those yellow marks, those yellow squares?
Mm-hmm.
Those are state lands that are controlled, and they're called Oregon State Forest Trust lands. They were given to the state back in the 60s.
It's very small.
Yeah, but those are 640 acres, or a square mile.
Wow.
It's about 8,000 acres that you see in yellow with Josephine County. We're working on having the state return those lands back to the county so that we can put them into the portfolio of the teal. The teal lands are the lands that Josephine County owns, and we manage that for about 6.5 million board feet a year. We're looking to try to generate about $1 million of revenue, anywhere between 500,000 and $1 million over a sustained basis out of a trust that we would establish here, that the board would codify an ordinance.
Do they replant the back?
Absolutely, they have to. And so it'd be a long-term revenue stream that we're pretty lucky to have. Not a lot of counties have this. There's only about 4. Douglas has a little, Coos has 15,000, and Hood River has about 20.
This is some of the things that I felt if we had pressure should have happened in 12. Because I went to Douglas County. Douglas County has 4,200 acres of exactly the same thing. They take out a million a year with two guys, and they take it out sustainably, and they've done it for year after year after year. They're not even 15 years.
Probably the expert on forest management in Southern Oregon. I would love to grow trees in Douglas County every day of the week.
Agree with the difference, but are you telling me that 4,200 acres and 30,000 acres are in no way comparable?
Yes.
In no way.
100%.
Then how come we have six people in forest management? They can do it two.
Yep.
And they're turning $1 million. We're turning 500,000.
Revenue.
With six.
Historically, over the last 10 years.
They're turning $1 million revenue with two.
Yeah. I know. And they grow on 45, 60 year rotation. Ours is probably closer to 80. Of those 30,000 acres, we probably only manage about 25 or so on a rotation. There's about 5,000 or 6,000 acres that wouldn't grow anything.
Right.
And what we do have of that 25, probably only about 6 of it grows like Douglas County. The other 18 of it is
about
probably
6,000.
6,000 that probably grows like Douglas County.
There's $1 million.
And none of it grows like their coastal range. So their county is 4,600 square miles. Ours is 1,642. We don't grow trees the same. And I don't know that we want to get into this conversation.
No, but
totally agree. We have hired a new forester to double
the... Yeah, because the word on the street is, for 20 years, basically, they didn't cut anything but their towers.
But look at our new manager. He's cut positions.
This is the word on the street.
And
he did it with six people.
But we cut
or seven. What, the 7 or 8 when your new guy came in? You got people off. I said, yay!
Yeah.
You know, we've got a guy who knows.
Yeah. But part of it is making that inventory, which hadn't been done in a while, and the inventory is identifying what we have.
I understand the technical, but that kind of thing, when you tell people there's a crisis, they expect crisis reaction from you.
I think you guys are often, and I don't say you guys, but you're equating your private sector experiences with the ability to just go do something, return services to the state. That isn't the way anybody can work on this side of the table. It would be nice, and there's pushback even at the federal level, who's the guy is making the rules and in charge. We're extensions of the state. So there's a little bit of a lag in what you want to do. I wanted the code codified. That was my first request 6 years ago. You've got to be, you know, there's 100 other things that come up.
Well, I wanted it twice to have it happen.
I have never paid for it only
once. You haven't, but before that, Rich was paid twice.
Been in office.
Oh, agreed. But see, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
you've got 25 years.
We're not here to pick 25 years.
Not even in the
not been here for 25 years.
And we're trying to move forward, Bill, because
what's not being represented, the public knows 25 years.
That's
the public knows commissioners that say they elect me because I'm not going to push for taxes. This is the trust.
Now,
you and you all said this. Now you're in this position, and you've done exactly what the voters voted down 60-40. That's hard for me to understand.
Nobody's ever had an opportunity, Mark, to vote on anything less than a dollar. Have you seen one? Can you show me?
You know, the average person is going to hear the word tax.
I know.
$4.99.
That's true.
So, just to clarify, what I was asked.
I don't want to get
you.
Hold on.
34 cents, no on the jail, 99 cents, no on the district, $1.09, no, and 98 cents jail. No.
So that was one levy that was guilt that was, it was a
well,
two
of course,
it was a 2 years.
This is the history you're dealing with.
I hear you. So I was asked, did I support that levy, and was I planning on having a thing? I was not planning on, and you will hear him tell you, I have been fighting whether why this may.
But we'll see how you vote.
No. This is what it comes down to. We have a $3.7 million cut in revenue to keep current service levels. How do we do that?
Okay, but do we need to keep the current service level?
Okay, so let's look at this. In 2008, the county was cut across the board, all our discretionary funds was cut to essential services required by law. In 2010, they cut 10% above that. We're at the point now with our assessor's office. If we cut any more to our assessor's office, they will lose all their CAFA grants from the state. They're required to provide a county matching level to qualify for those outside grants. And any more cuts, they will lose that and essentially cut down. So what do we do without an assessor's office? Well, we don't collect any taxes, and everything is... And so we are at the point that these levels have all been cut. We are at a point that the departments are either self-funded or they're in the black. So we're looking at every penny that goes to every section.
Really, is it possible that whenever it comes to union negotiation, would ask me when a contract comes up that you can reduce something there and stand up to the unions like it used to be when they were picketing out in the front when Commissioner Raffenberg was the commissioner?
So under Commissioner Raffenberg, they did cut. What I'm telling you is of these general services, we can't cut further and sustain any further services. So we are at the minimums in these areas to continue. So we have to also look at 3.7 million shortfall in the public safety alone. We cut all the other departments first, and then in 2012, the last department that get cut was Sheriff's Office. So now we're at the point that those revenues are going to be done. If we use everything in the county reserves to sustain that 3.7 shortfall, we will get to the end of next fiscal year, and there is no reserve left. There is no more funding source guaranteed. And if we shut that jail, the cost to reopen it will be more than if we keep it going. We're facing that with the juvenile detention. There's no employees there. They can't just get the funding and be open the next day. It will take them up to a year to get that staffed and running so they can open the door and have the services in the community. The reason why I brought up the Forest Trust is because we've initiated a process to dedicate the Forest Trust funds to juvenile justice. So it would cover the shelter. That's a piece not being covered. Even with Hearts with a Mission opening, there's still kids that do not qualify to go in that home, and there's still a need to protect some of the kids in our community. The shelter is necessary, and the juvenile probation side to assist that. So we're dedicating funds to that. So now, if the levy passes, detention's covered, the trust fund can keep juvenile going, the other thing. So that's one more piece out of that public safety fund. That means what's left out of our current funding to support our sheriff and district attorney's office with what's left. So we're finding a way to provide the services without it being on the taxpayers' dollars. We're trying to find a reasonable expectation of how do we... I'm sorry, every place I went last year, I was asked first, how are you going to keep us safe? Well, there's a couple things. One, our revenues have gone down, and our population has gone up. So we're asking to do more for more people with less. Okay, we're doing that really well. We are bottom of the pile across the board in the state for how much we're offering with as little as we're doing. That's awesome. We have a good reputation for being fiscally responsible in that way. So now, $3.7 million for 1 year, and then there's nothing left. So we're asking you to be a part of what solutions make sense. And I agree. We haven't heard from Joshua. We haven't heard from Ward. We're not trying to hide anything. We're not trying to pull the wool. We ask you here because we're willing to say, let's roll up our sleeves and do the work.
Lily, can we ever get together, all of us again, and talk about not just property taxes, how to raise money on property taxes, but how to come up with a something that the county, like for example, different cities around the country, like Chicago is one of them, they take and they build a power plant and they burn garbage and they create electricity and they sell it back, and it's very, very successful because they don't pollute underground water by burying it underground like they did in Maryland. And there's a lot of garbage from Jackson County, Josephine County that can be, if we can get someone that can study this, it'll probably take $10, $15 million to build. We can pass the bond levy to do that, and it'll pay for itself.
They do that at Dry Creek. Dry Creek over in Medford has a co-generation plant. And so they're already in that business, and it does work.
That's right. Why can't we do something like that here? And it'd be staging up for the county.
What is the timeline for that? I want to build this bridge because we're talking.
If we pass this levy in 5 years, let's say, what are we going to do after 5 years? So So
because we're also doing the same thing.
We need to come up with something between that period as fast as possible that we can fund the county without only relying on the property owner.
I want to do one thing real quick, like here, that's been resting on my mind for just the last 20 minutes, and we keep comparing ourselves to Jackson County, and Jackson County has beds, and they do this. I want you to understand something. We're at 58 cents. Jackson County is at $2 and something like that, so they're roughly four times what we are here. Jackson
you
County
can't look 50. You can't look 58 cents at the county. Yes, you have to look at the property.
I'm talking property taxes cents. That the county gets. I'm going to go this just real slow. And they're four times what we charge. Their assessed value is four times what we have assessed value here. So when we collect $1 million on the 58 cents, Josephine County property tax, not the school, not the 4-H, not all the other stuff that's on your tax statement, but just going to Josephine County, when we collect $1 million, at the same time we collect $1 million, Jackson County collects $4 million. And at the same time they collect $4 million and we collect, then they multiply that again by four again. When we collect one, they collect $16 million.
Well, people are dumb enough to pay that much money.
No. I'm just trying to explain the difference.
Well, they also have more revenue. 230,000
Yes,
people.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
So,
and it's huge.
One other thing that was brought up earlier was the Job Council. The Job Council was a separate entity. This is part of why we're suing the state, that we do not believe we're obligated for that personnel. So we are taking the action of saying that's not our obligation. They were a separate agency that did not belong to the county. So when you ask why did the county not shut them down, they were a separate district. They were a separate government agency. The same as we don't have the authority to shut down the city of Grants Pass or School District 7 as another government agency, we did not have the authority to shut down the Job Council.
Well, let's hope you win that lawsuit.
Exactly. So that's how we are trying to build the trust. With what we can do. We cannot fix 25 years of mistakes, but we can be intentional of what we're doing today.
Hey, Dave, how much money are you paying for lunches every day or per year or what do you pay for these for your inmates?
I'll get you that answer.
Well, can you just do like Sheriff Arpaio did, give them bologna sandwiches and water?
They're getting them.
They are getting full lunches.
Let's get back. Let's keep them coming back. There are a couple people I want to hear about. I want to hear from one of them is Jim Goodwin, the juvenile. I want to hear from him. We have a half an hour left to go. And so I do want to hear from Jim because he's got some money in this. This levy thing is moved forward. He wants to explain his side of it. Then I want questions. Like I said, going back to it, we're looking at a fix, a short-term fix for a long-term problem. And you know what? If you guys walk out of here and say, you know what, I'm not interested in a short-term fix, I'm only interested in a long-term problem, then I want to know exactly what that is and what that timeline is. That's exactly what I think I'm asking from every one of you. Every one of you got great ideas. You got some fantastic ideas. When do we get paid? That's exactly what I want to know. If I go to my banker and I'm in trouble and he says, oh, you got all these jobs coming up, he says out of his mouth, when are you going to get paid? So I know you're in a good financial situation again. Say, well, I don't, but I'm going to go borrow the money from my mom or my dad or my sister or whatever. I want to know what that timeline is. Because, gentlemen, I don't care what you say. We're up against it. Now, I'm not saying it's a crisis, and we can say there's been a lot of rhetoric out, oh, it's a crisis. Oh, it's an emergency. It's this. It's that. Name it what you want. It's a concern of these three county commissioners here, and it's a concern of the people outside this building other than you, but you have a stake at the table. You have a place at this table because you know why? You all are all very influential. You don't ever quiet down, and I like that because I'm getting used to you. I never hear from you. I haven't heard from you, and I haven't heard from you. But I'm telling you, the reason we're at the table is because, ladies and gentlemen, we want to do something. We've got to build that bridge. The levy that the sheriff is 5 years. And then when somebody says, oh, it could only be 3 years. Yeah, it could be 24 months. But what's at the end of that 24 months? At the end of 5 years, I'm hoping that we get the timber suits lawsuits come through. I'm hoping that the federal government agrees to that they messed up with the ONC Act of, what is it, 39 or something? 37? Holy cow, we'd love to have all of these things come to bear fruit, but when is it going to bear fruit? Between now and June 30th?
if you look at the oil tax,
yeah,
defaulted on a law.
Oh, it did. I understand
so
all that.
Sir, the federal government knows the default and go take it.
But we sue the federal government.
We are.
Yeah, we may have that. But you know what? I can't call Donald Trump, President Trump, and say, hey, we're in trouble out here. What do you think we're going to do? What are we going to do?
There's other things that just depend on how you just can count. If you look at the state level right now, we got a $1,000 tax coming down for every car that's 20 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Now that went down. It will die.
We got the coffee car tax.
It will die too.
Tax yard sales, and the government is still putting out a $2 per gallon fuel tax.
You will find that the Governor Kate Brown, because she has her proposed budget out, and when we were, Commissioner Morgan and I were at County College, every one of the speakers just stood up and said, oh my gosh, look at this. This is what's going to do to my program, my program, my program. You know what I figured out at the state level? They have too damn many programs. And nobody turned around and looked at Kate Brown and said, what are you going
to
do about this?
But we also have to look at that economic landscape as reality, because she's committed an act of sedition, basically saying we're going to be a sanctuary state, contrary to what the federal government has said. And there's serious discussions right now about cutting off federal funding to Oregon, which will impact us here.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion we're talking about is a band-aid fix. It's not a long-term strategic fix.
No.
And understand that we have elected officials for a short period of time. We need a long-term strategic fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I agree with you.
The only way we can do this is we got to take the example of Colonial Valley that reduced crime by 60%. That is an economic impact to the requirement for jail beds. If the Nextdoor app and the community involvement up there works, the discussion I hear here is government's got to fix the problem. We have to, and what you've done here, reaching out to the community leaders, is starting to bridge that. We have churches, we have groups, we have neighborhood watches. Those people need to be brought in and employed, trained, and educated. If we had a neighborhood watch or a Nextdoor throughout all of Josephine County, the word's going to get out on the street. Just like the front page article, come to Josephine County, they're letting everybody out. It's all going to get out. Don't go to Josephine County because everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's going to happen? They were down to a need for 100 jails.
So I think that's part of what we do as well. Mm-hmm. We have to be doing those things, but that doesn't fix what we're facing today. That's a long-term strategy that we have to come alongside and do. It's same as what you're recommending, Paul, as far as an economic strategy in the long term. We are doing that at the same time that we're looking at how do we make an intentional plan of how do we bring economy in here. I'm working on getting some meetings together with some different groups to try to see how do we do that. That's not just the county, not just the city. We are doing that as well because,
well,
again,
they're leaving California by the droves and come out
and they're going to
development. We can bring them here.
Yeah, but they're going to Texas, not here. But here's the thing. We have to fix something. We have to make a decision for now. We understand this is a stopgap. We are thinking the reason for the 5 years is because we're hoping that the litigation will be done in that time, that we can take action. We're trying to have some stability so that we can get to that point that we can take other action. That's intentional. We know it's not a permanent solution, but the permanent solution right now is closing doors, which I don't think helps. So one thing I would challenge you on the Colonial Valley statistic, which it's great that they're doing that, and we need to continue networking our community watches. The community watches don't have enforcement. In Colonial Valley, one murder can increase the staff in that community. Tell me how many jail beds they were already using versus we can decrease their jail beds. Well, for the things that were happening there, they're not currently getting any jail beds except for the double homicide, and he got sentenced for that. So they did use that jail bed for that. But the sheriff and the state police are still having to cite and release. They're not using the jail beds except on Measure 11 beds. So when you say you want to cut the need, they don't have them. What are you cutting? These beds are paid for by specific groups that are paying for that use. That is not covering crime in the county.
But that's what I'm saying. So we're looking at the jail bed need for catch and release. If we get to the point where they just leave the community, they're not even here, we don't even have the catch and release because we're not catching them because they're just not here committing the crime. That's part of the involvement. It's an overwatch.
We've got about 20 minutes left, and there are two people that I really do want to hear from because they were invited. Out of 2 hours, I think 20 minutes. And maybe Ward will take all of it or
not.
He did write something down, and I must have been important. I'm not sure if something came to us.
Well, I want to know what the current budget is for the Sheriff's Department.
7.8.
7.8,
right, Arthur?
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to have a reduction of
2.1
million coming up in in June?
July 1st.
Yes.
Full law enforcement is at $3.7 million.
The sheriff's portion is
$2.1 million of that allocation.
The other thing, I don't believe that the city of Grants Pass is paying a fair share towards the jail beds and towards the sheriff's department. When the majority of the crime in Josephine County is done within the city limits of Grants Pass, 80% roughly is what the stats are, I believe. So how do we work that out? Because I think there could be $3 or $4 million sitting there that should be sought after.
It is awash with money.
So it's possible.
So we need to look at that. I think that's we really seriously need to look at that funding right there. So.
But they are currently paying more than anybody else in the county.
But if it's not enough, it's not enough. So
I understand, but what I'm saying is that
the money works out that in 2015 the county taxpayers paid $3.7 million to fight city crime.
Well,
that is the way the money works out, because we don't have the crime in the county. But we are having the crime in the city. We
do have the crime in the county. We don't have the enforcement.
4.1. Yeah.
It,
and we appropriate 2.5 of that general fund to the law enforcement agency. Maybe we can talk about those numbers.
I'd be glad to talk about
them. I'd love to see the stats from law enforcement, both county sheriff and from the city, Grants Pass City Police, of how many people. I read the same paper you do, and it says, you know, Joe Blow from, and he's from Selma, but he got caught in Grants Pass stealing a car. You know, because there's some, there, you know, we transfer back and forth.
That's not accurate.
Well, no, excuse me, I didn't mean Selma. I said Kirby.
Crime is in the city. When you read Grants Pass Police, he lives on Ring Gas.
So in the last 2 weeks,
I would like to see a step on that.
Thank you.
All I want to see is a step on that.
I'm using 1 point to prove your
point. Hold on, calm down.
If we go down statistics, I think that we're going to get into this big argument.
Yeah.
So let's avoid that.
Right. Good point.
Trying to get together on a probable solution.
Finding common ground.
No, we're trying to find money.
Right. That's what we want.
And we would like the people who are creating the issue to pay.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay?
That is not the county in general is one out of every four people is retired this is the entire county. In what we consider the county, not the city, it's 29%. Those people are not committing crimes. Rarely are you going to find the 65 plus that are doing crimes. What's wrong now?
So,
you know, the big
so Ward, what other things did you have?
Well, that's the main thing I wanted to bring up.
I'm the largest property holder at the table that I'm aware of. I've got all of your tax statements, and they're public record.
Yeah. I didn't get any. That would be the largest taxpayer.
So, we've been in this, you and I, for 6-7 years. And, you know, I ran on the idea of force management. You had mentioned at some point, you know, that you can't have, you're going to be opposed to anything over a dollar. So wanting to listen to people with your concern was a big consideration why we didn't propose like $1.48 that would have been a system where you don't need people in Colonial Valley and all these other systems. I mean, I think we always going to need it, but this is not a want everything, get everything.
We live in a very poor county. And there is no money here. People are hurt here very, very bad. I mean, for the majority of them.
Yeah.
And for me to raise my rents on the people that I work with, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't take that burden of extra dollars either, right, and extra, you know, tax dollars. So there's a problem here.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be able to pass, I think, any levy at this point. Tax-wise, it's going to be tough. We need to find other solutions to this and other ways to get money, and that's what we have to look at greatly, because putting another tax burden on the people here, I don't think it'll ever happen. It's a very poor county.
A rock and a hard spot.
Oh, absolutely.
I look at that and I'm like, people are spending crazy amounts on their power bill.
Oh, yeah.
And then we want to say, hey, we need another 93 cents from you. It's your tax.
It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I want to see him funded. I want to see the sheriff with the money he needs and the deputies that he needs.
Yeah.
I went and met with the sheriff down in Wairika yesterday. And it was chaos, Evan, because they sent a bunch of their men to the Oroville Dam to help out. But I spent 45 minutes with the guy down there and talked about all how they fund their departments and what's going on. And it's quite interesting. So I think what I'd like to see more done here, and I'll help or whatever we can do, is with the sheriff going down to different sheriffs, going down to California, going to Pinellas County, talk to all the other sheriffs in the state and find out what they're doing.
We're the only ones with the problem.
Yeah, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's see how they're handling this problem, because it's all over the state. And let's get more solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we can do that. I'll travel or drive you to the different places.
If you ask the sheriff from down there, what is their property tax go to their sheriff?
You know,
or do they even have property tax in Wyoming?
Sales tax. It is really complicated. There's a lot of things they do. The sheriff's department sub out to all these different cities and get paid for doing other things. They have 60 patrol deputies on the road down there at all times. So 60.
How many?
60.
60?
60 patrol deputies. And then they got in the courts, and then they, I mean, it's a huge department. And their budget down there is roughly $12.5 million. For all that they do, which is pretty good for what they do. It's huge. But they have a lot of other incomes that comes into the sheriff's department that they sub out jobs to. So, you know, it's a complex deal, and I'd like to share it with you, but I got, you know, it's...
Well, this isn't the last conversation we're going to have on this issue.
No, we need to do this again.
Yeah. Do you mind taking a few minutes? You'd like to hear from you on this.
Okay. Listen to everybody, and everybody has a lot of ideas and different things that could be done, and even some misconceptions about how things are within our county government. And from a Republican Party standpoint, if you propose a levy like it sounds like you're going to do, what's going to happen is the Republican Party is going to get together and somebody's going to propose a motion, whether the party supports or rejects it. And from looking at what happened in the past, the party probably will go against the levy. Even if I wanted the party to go for the levy, they probably would go against the levy. So it looks like, you've started the discussion here, but there needs to be more discussion, because it's not the Republican Party, it's not us in the room that's going to make this decision, it's the voters. And if that's the only solution, and to fix this quick fix would be a levy, the voters have to see that that's the solution to fix it. And how are you going to present that to the voters? It seems to me that we need to have this discussion. We need to discuss all the different aspects in the county, how things are funded and so forth, so people understand it, so they know, is this really the only way to do it? And I could open a discussion. I mean, Sheriff, you're welcome to come to our meetings. We can talk about it. Commissioners, of course, are welcome to come to our meetings. We're having a meeting on the 18th, well, this Saturday, and any of you are welcome to come there. We don't have a lot of stuff on the agenda, so if you wanted to make a presentation and talk about it, because it wouldn't be right for us to take a position at the next meeting, even though somebody might try to do it if they knew it was coming, because their proper notice hasn't been given, the discussion hasn't been had. So if you're going to propose a levy that's going to be put on the ballot, need to start having a discussion with the people that are going to affect the vote, because each time it's been defeated, how is it going to be different this time? How are we going to convince the voters that this is the only way to fix it, and is this the only way to fix it? So we all might can be convinced of something in this room that that's the way to do it, but the voters haven't heard anything different than they did last year.
Right. Right. So our deal is the timeline.
Yeah.
How about if we go to the public and just say, you know, we came up with an idea how to permanently fund the economy. Mm-hmm. We want to, let's say, get this power plant going. It's going to cost us X amount of money. Would you pass this levy so we can accomplish this? And after the levy expires in 5 years, we'll have this going by that time and like a positive thing forward to the public where they will be
exactly
able to buy
what we're
it.
We're doing. Say we've been here with the lawsuits of ONC. We have never been here at this juncture on the ONC, and I think it's history, and I've read it very, very thoroughly. We're suing them on every opportunity, and the county is actually different than the other counties. We're suing with the industry at the sustained yield mark, which is 1.5 billion board feet. We're not suing at the minimum That's the way the legislation was written. The other counties, 15 other counties are suing for the $500 million.
When would that pan out, you think?
You know, this administration, Trump, is going to change everything. We've not had a conducive administration. When you're suing the BLM and they don't want to be
they don't like BLM.
Yeah, but when you're suing the BLM and the Obama administration, they don't want to win. They don't want you to win. So they put up every roadblock. This administration wants to know the answer to the question that we're asking.
Yes.
Is this resource management plan legal?
But they met in Salt Lake City over this with Trump's son.
I think it's going to move faster than any litigation that we've seen. Judge Leon has heard this issue before and ruled favorably twice before on ONC. I'm really optimistic, and I'm not being ignorant about it. I'm pretty well versed in this. Paul and I discuss it once a week. It's got a really good chance, but it's going to take time. So rather than hitching our wagon to an idea that may or may not work here as far as trash, maybe the market's already saturated with the burner over there. We know that there's trees here. We know we grow trees. We know we can harvest trees. We know we can process trees here. There's a billion board feet of capacity in harvesting timber in Oregon right now. Today.
Well, if you get something good, let's say God blesses us and we get the money, you have to make sure that it's spent wisely so we don't reach this point again.
Exactly.
Well, nothing says we have to collect the cash.
I wanted to really, we only have about 10 more minutes left.
Why 5 years on living? Why not two?
Because that's what we explained. There is nothing in the two-year realm that's going to say at the end of 2 years
I think
that it's done.
Really important that once the lawsuit happens,
it's a window.
The agency is going to have to revert back to a plan. The current plan is not legally binding, or it's not legally sufficient. So you're going to have to go back to either the Northwest Forest Plan or implement the WOPR, the Western Oregon Plan Revision. Mm-hmm. And then you put sales forward based on that plan. That will take, after the lawsuit is settled, at least 2 years before you actually are cutting a tree or selling it.
2 to 3 years.
But if we're talking 2 years, and that really puts the onus to find a long-term strategic solution.
Sure.
And if you're talking the 93 cents for 2 years as a bridge,
the lawsuit takes 2 years, and then the implementation of the lawsuit takes 2 years.
We're looking at a bridge to where? How long a bridge do we need to
build? And that's if it doesn't go through appeals.
Simon, I had a quick question for you. At a $300,000 home, and property's going up, the value, that's $27 a month. You have a library tax, animal tax, fire district, and grants passed, depending upon where you live. It goes up 3% a year, so that 27 cents in 5 years is going to be close to 40 cents. Plus, wouldn't that also be true if you had a library, animal shelter, and fire? All of their figures is based upon what it is now, but they're all going to go up 3%. So that's what the public is facing. Is that true? The 3% on everything?
The value of the property, not the rate.
Not
and
the
it's
rate.
Really important.
When the value of the property goes up from 300 to 350, the value, your taxes go up too.
Only by 3% based on the 1990 10% minus value.
Whatever your taxes now, next year it'll be up 3%.
Your assessed rate.
Correct. Right. So in 5 years, that 27 will be close to 40.
No.
3% a year.
No, really want to get
3%. Did you have more, Joshua?
Well, I think you have to educate the people what's going on. What's going on in the county, and where the taxes are going. So I like stuff like this, pie charts and stuff, because they're so easy to see.
Just so we included last year, and I'd like to work with you specifically on
how can the library be privately funded?
How do we express that? So we took a dollar bill in all of your taxes 2 years ago. We didn't do anything last year. But try to explain how that dollar that you cut to the county, you write to the check, we only keep 7.9% of that. And I don't say only from a negative. I mean, that's great. We've got a low tax rate. But we shouldn't be expected to do everything on just that. That's why we're trying the other things, the forest management. Yeah. How do we express that in a pie chart that people understand? And then you've got Mark's issue with the 3% every year. Oregon's tax rate is incredibly complicated, and I'm still understanding it. So it's no wonder that there are people who can live their entire life.
People have to understand what the county gets, where it goes, and what they can do with it. Because everybody thinks you could cut here, and you could cut here, and there are maybe some places that you could cut. I don't know.
I'd love to send out an invoice for everything on your statement that the Three Rivers School send out an invoice for how much of your toll tax statement is going to Three Rivers School. So you had to, if you had to write a check to each entity that's on your statement, you'd have a whole different picture of where money's going.
14. We're the third lowest. You've got RCC at 52. You've got us, a 4-H at 4.67. And then there's us, mm-hmm. at 58 cents. There's 10 others that are higher.
If they knew, they would be upset.
But nobody else knows that.
If you moved the election to April the 16th, you'd have a whole different government. Because of that.
Right. There has to be a dialogue to make people understand what needs to be done. Because what's going to happen is everything happens the way it happened before. Levy will be put on the ballot. It will be voted down because people are poor and they don't want more taxes. The sheriff won't get his money. And
how do we structure that dialogue? Because it feels like this has been going on since I was a kid. I graduated in 97. That's when the spotted owl was listed in 98. What do they want to know that we need to provide them? You know, I can't get everybody in Josephine County who's a registered voter up to the level of expertise of Arthur. I can say that when I've had a conversation with Ward or most anybody, they're like, whoa, I didn't know that. They say that every other sentence. I didn't know that we don't have any of our tax money going to public works. How many people call me on it? There's just, it's like, if I could have 50,000 conversations, there wouldn't be a problem with it. There'd be people going to school board meetings and saying, I'm cutting you a check for $453, $1,000, as opposed to $89 for the county. You're doing a really good job with the $89 that I'm giving you. That's the conversation that would happen at the end.
Simon, how much does the library get?
Nothing right now.
Nothing from the county.
Well, library should be funded with private funds and user fees.
Rent $1.
They're going to rent that in. But it's strictly going to the library. They're forming their own.
Well,
they're
not going
to pass. Well, probably will. I don't know that.
One thing I want to say, because the practice of this is, will we support or back? The 185 beds is not defensible. Sean Hall and I have been through the Courier in research. He finds occasionally, two times, he'll tell you that it was 185 beds that were ever reported. Normally, it's 160 to 165. In all the years that they were fully funded, it was 160 to 165 is all you'll find in the Courier. It was two times that it was 185. So it's not defensible to say 185.
But that's what we need?
That's what we need. We've never used it.
We have.
But you,
under Mayor Dave Daniel, when they opened it, they were over 200. But if you add now the citations, or the fact that patrol's not responding to every call, so those aren't getting in there. And if we're talking about intaking everybody...
I'm saying when you were fully funded, you didn't use the jail.
Do you think you can fill it now
when you're not funded.
Do you think we won't get to 185?
You can fill it to 262.
Okay.
Yeah, that's up to you. You can fill misdemeanors in, you can pull all kinds of stuff in to do what you want to do.
Questions. So you're going to have questions. You're all going to have questions. And we're going to want to answer those, but we're not going to be able to do it in 2 minutes.
No, I'm going to say,
the quick question
I'm not going to go for 185. I go for 160, 165, and I don't go for 5 years. I think if hamstrings, the next sheriff could be you, then you'll be somebody else will take over your position and say, what the? And I want another levy. If you guys have that 2 years, to set up what you're going to do and what the real plan is, and it's going to take you 4 years to get there, then if you can show marks on that in 2 years, you'll get another levy.
Well, and I've already talked about that juvenile won't even be up and running for a year. So we don't collect the money until November. You know, it's talking the following fiscal year. And it takes, so it's not going to be till the following fiscal year that we can open those doors and get that running. So a 2 year would be not appropriate.
I got a serious question. When is that library levy, the taxing that you're going to be on the ballot in May?
Yep.
Correct.
Okay, so if you're going to put yours on May 2 and there's two on there,
three.
That's going to turn the public off.
And the fire district in Illinois Valley.
So
this is really three of them on it, nothing but levy for levies. You're going to lose.
Can we do the journal?
Yeah.
Two or 3 weeks.
We need to have these regularly. We're not ending a conversation. Our deadline tomorrow is to put it out there for
for the
future. Really just beginning.
But the conversations have to be continued. We've talked all along that it can't be these three people finding the solution to the community. We are taking efforts that it's not just on taxpayer dollars.
If you're ever going to pass this, it's going to have to be county levy for the sheriff levy only, not the library and other.
That's why we're putting it on.
But
if you want to put it on,
other districts have their own charge. And
but you guys don't have to move it on.
Well, it's
you don't
also
have to move the library on. If you want to try really seriously, if you want to try to get this,
do you want to presuppose that we, that the voters can't make their own determination about how they want to spend?
They didn't get their signatures. Didn't get their signatures.
I know, but
they didn't get their signatures. You do not have to move this on.
I know, Mr. Hunker.
They can get their signatures.
I'm fully vested. You know, I'm versed.
Exactly. Which one do you want to put?
I just really want to say thank you. I appreciate you guys taking the time. I thought this was a really good conversation.
Lily, don't put that library levy on. He's going to kill this. Don't do it.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us. Let
him get to it.
Okay. Can I ask you a quick question? We have the 15th is tomorrow. We need to put something on there tomorrow. We can always pull it back off. We don't have to let it go through, correct?
Yeah, we have to.
Do we know what this is?
We have it until the 16th. March 16th. So what we're asking, I think, of this thing is we have a proposal that the sheriff put out. It is for 5 years. It is for 93 cents. It does include juvenile. We've got the ballot language all lined up. It's very specific, and we'll make sure each one of you has that by the end of the day. And what I'm asking you is, I don't want you to leave here thinking, okay, they're not going to put that on the ballot, because we can put something on the ballot. If we have a meeting in 2 weeks and it doesn't fly, fine, we pull it right back off. But if we're going to meet a deadline at all and have any discussion about it, we're going to probably turn that into the clerk tomorrow. And just to let you know, full transparency, and yes, I told you that probably would happen. And
don't put the library like that. Let's go for the sheriff.
That's what we want to have that discussion. So, you know, don't leave this meeting saying, yep, they never heard a darn thing, because we've heard you loud and clear.
If it goes on, can it be modified?
No, it can't.
So when's the lineup waiting?
Let the library get signatures. Don't get signatures out there.
They're in the same
time. Easy for.
I also want to thank you all for being here today.
Yes, Molly. Molly.
To elaborate further, there is going to be a 7-district area here in which the ballot title could be challenged. So if somebody were to agree with the ballot title or your explanatory statement, then there's 7-district days, 27-district.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Our meeting is adjourned at 12:01.